Chapter 12.
Oribouche, Kikovid. All helmet, no head. Mandalorian insult for someone with an overdeveloped sense of authority. Republica House, Coruscant. 0001 hours, Galactic Standard Time. Jason Solo, in the formal uniform of a colonel of the Galactic Alliance Guard, stood outside the lobby of the Republica building, flanked by Sergeant Wirrett and Trooper Lim. It was a real shame about LeCouf. He was a great loss. Ben had done well, but he should have been back at work right away. Jason planned to talk to Chavu later about sending Ben on leave without clearing it with him first.
"You sure this is going to be enough, sir?" asked Wirrett. "Just the three of us?"
Jason smoothed his black gloves down over his fingers. It was 1 minute past midnight, and that made what he was about to do thoroughly legal, justified, and overdue.
"I don't think Chief Omis has a platoon up there, somehow."
Wirrett didn't reply. Jason was the first to admit that going to arrest the elected head of the most powerful organization in the galaxy with a couple of troopers was low-key, but he saw no point flooding the area with an entire company. Omis wouldn't put up a fight. If he did, one Jedi and two armed troopers were ample to deal with it. Jason opened the comlink to Neothel.
"We're in position now," he said. "We're going in."
"I have an emergency appointment with Senator Gasil in 10 minutes,
Neothel said.
"He's not happy about it, but I told him it couldn't wait."
"He's got no inkling of what's happening?"
"If he has, he hasn't shown the slightest sign of acting upon it."
"Okay. There's no going back now. We're committed."
"Just do it."
The security guard on the front reception was a man used to seeing all kinds of uniforms wandering in and out of Republica House. The luxurious tower housed the elite of the GA, and every senator seemed to have his or her own entourage of bodyguards, as well as military visitors. Most Coruscanti knew what a GAG uniform looked like by now anyway. Jason had made sure his secret police were anything but secret, at least in terms of their existence. But he gave the guard proper identification without being asked. There was no point being rude or throwing his weight around. The man was only doing his job.
"No need to announce me," Jason said.
The guard checked his datapad.
"You're on his admission list anyway. Go on up."
It took minutes for the turbolift to reach Omis's floor. As the cab climbed, the two troopers simply stared at the wall ahead of them. Jason felt their reluctance, and wanted to know if it was due to a fondness for Omis or a distaste for military coups, but he didn't ask. Any army that liked the idea of a coup wasn't worth having. It had to be the last resort.
"How the other half lives,"
Wirrett said, as the turbolift doors opened onto a lobby of extraordinary luxury. The air was perfumed, a pleasantly neutral woody scent, and the broad corridor was lined with niches filled with rare Naboo crystal. Omis had a weakness for that, and iridescent Shalui ceramics.
"I could fit my apartment and my 10 neighbors in here."
"If we put fancy pottery in the corridors of my building, it wouldn't be there long," said Lim.
She cast an envious eye at a shimmering red vase that changed gradually to green and turquoise as the angle of the observer changed.
"Still, his insurance payments must hurt."
"Possessions are burdens."
Jason smiled.
"What you have can always be taken away. So wealth breeds fear."
I'll willingly face that kind of fear, sir,
Wirrit muttered.
And a nice big Soro Sub yacht. That would scare me very nicely.
The magnificent doors to Omis's apartment were engraved bronzium, an abstract design by one of Coruscant's top artists. Jason couldn't recall the name. It seemed a waste of talent when the doors were seen only by Omis, his inner circle, the housekeeping staff, and repair droids. Republica House had the kind of architecture and design that warranted public tours. Jason paused, marshaling his thoughts before pressing the bell. The troopers stood back and pulled down their visors, standard procedure when entering a building. For a moment, Jason thought they were going to stack either side of the door, but they were simply taking a pace backward, Lim keeping an eye on the corridor as a routine precaution. Omis answered the door himself. Jason knew he didn't have day and night close protection these days, but somehow he expected a droid or even a real butler to receive callers. The chief of state looked at him with a puzzled frown, and then at the two troopers.
"Good evening, Jason."
He stepped back and ushered them in.
"Wretched business, this shooting. I can't say I liked Gedgen, but it shows how careful we have to be in our line of work."
He ambled down a long hallway that made the corridor outside look like a lower-level slum. The art on the walls was breathtaking, and most of it seemed to predate the Yuuzhan Vong invasion. Some gallery curator had a very secure hiding place then. At the end, Omis turned around.
"Can I get you good people something to drink before we sit down?"
Somehow it would have been so much easier if Omis had been hostile.
"Sir," said Jason, "I'm arresting you in the name of the Galactic Alliance for activity likely to compromise the safety of the state."
Omis frowned slightly, as if he hadn't heard right. He walked a few steps back along the passage, where the downlighters cast pools of light on velvet pile ruby carpet.
"I beg your pardon?"
"You're under arrest, sir. We'll let you call your lawyer later, but right now it would be a good idea if you came with us."
Omis gave a little snort of amusement.
"Jason, my dear boy, this is Cal Omis you're talking to. Don't be such a prat. Arrest me? Arrest me?"
Jason reached in his jacket and took out a data pad.
"Under the terms of the Emergency Measures Act, anyone, including heads of state, politicians, and any other individuals believed to be presenting a genuine risk to the security of the Galactic Alliance, can now be detained. That's a quote, sir. The amendment to the law to include heads of state came into effect at midnight. And you are a head of state."
Omis looked stunned rather than alarmed. Jason was used to the GAG producing fear when they paid a visit, but amazement was disconcerting.
"I saw that amendment come through on the notification circular yesterday,"
Omis said, still quite casually conversational.
"Good grief. You really did it, didn't you? You actually changed the law and planned this."
"Sir,
am I allowed to know what risk I'm supposed to pose to my own state?"
"I can show you, sir," Jason said, and switched his datapad to the strip cam footage of the meeting with Gedgen.
He queued it up, and then held the pad so that Omis could see the screen.
"Please feel free to view it all, and then tell me if that's not you in the room with two Alliance intel officers, the late Prime Minister, and his two Corsec protection officers."
The look on Omis's face was priceless.
Jason felt a flood of relief that he had finally made Omis realize that he was now a man with no future. Omis stared at the datapad, and did indeed watch the whole meeting. Behind Jason, Wirrit and Lim waited in patient silence.
"Well," said Omis, "what can I say?"
"Sergeant Wirrit will accompany you to pack an overnight bag," Jason said. "We'll take you out as discreetly as possible."
"Secretly?" "Oh, I see."
"No, sir. You're not going to disappear and turn up floating face down in some sewer. This will be conducted legally and openly."
Omis stared impassively into Jason's face and then looked past him at the two troopers. Jason could feel the man's fear, even though he looked perfectly at ease.
"Sergeant, I do keep a bag packed for eventualities," Omis said, almost smiling. "If you don't trust me not to blow my brains out in the bedroom, by all means go to the fifth door on the left and pick it up for me. It's in the first closet as you enter the room. Tan leather holdall."
There was nothing worse than a dignified detainee. Jason knew that within 24 hours, the barracks and the CSF bar would be full of the gossip about how magnificently brave Omis had been. Wirrit disappeared into the bedroom while Lim stood guard. Omis stepped a little closer to Jason, his face centimeters away, so close that his breath brushed Jason's skin like a hand.
"You obnoxious, power-crazed, ludicrous little jerk," he said sweetly, with the smile of an indulgent grandfather. "You had Gedgen killed, too, didn't you?"
Jason waited for him to spit in his face and still smile, but Omis conducted himself impeccably as he left. Wirrit walked behind him, blaster visible, but not jammed into the chief of state's back. And Jason led the way. It was the longest, most awkward turbolift descent that Jason could imagine. When they reached the lobby, the security guard stared for a moment, put down his holozine, and stood up.
"Sir, what's happening?"
"Would you water the plants while I'm away, please?" Omis said pleasantly. "I'm afraid I'm under arrest."
There was a second GAG transport waiting outside. Wirrit and Lim ushered Omis into it, then watched it speed away to GAG HQ. Jason found that his hands were shaking. It was an effort to take out his comlink.
"Admiral, it's done," he said. "Time for a public announcement."
Wirrit pushed back his visor and wiped his face with his glove.
"That," he said, "was the hardest thing I've ever done. Next time, sir, can I volunteer for snatching heavily armed Wookiee psychopaths? It'd be a lot easier on my nerves."
Wirrit and Lim joked, but the arrest had crossed an emotional line for them, and it showed. Jason climbed into the speeder beside them and took a long route through the canyons of buildings, checking for signs that Coruscant, the heart of galactic democracy, had undergone a silent, bloodless, and thoroughly civilized military coup. Outside government buildings and bank headquarters, small groups of GA ground forces stood guard. It looked like no more than the routine public order precautions for festival nights, except the uniforms were not the blue of CSF.
"Weird," said Lim.
"Poor old Jory." Wirrit sighed. "Poor kid. He was so keen to live up to his granddad."
Jason rubbed his eyes and realized he was in for another very long day. And the sun wasn't even up yet.
"I won't forget that,"
he said. I never will.